Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town.
On the fan, McMonagle here with you. I got you for 3 hours until we get you to the warm-up show at 5-888-808-1019. We got Fleegs on the other side on this Thursday morning. Helsley and Williams, the gifts that keep on giving. As both of these teams don't know when to stop using these relievers who can't get anybody out. Unbelievable. We'll get to football. We'll get to the devastating injury for the New York Jets. But we'll start with our baseball team, specifically the Yankees here, as game two of the gauntlet. That not just me. I heard Keith say I like to call it the gauntlet. Not me. Everyone calls it the gauntlet. We have latched on to the word gauntlet. The gauntlet that is these 12 games. Game one went really well. Game two is a frustrating loss for the New York Yankees. They had a 3-0 lead. They had a 4-1 lead. You get a couple of home runs, and we know the records when the Yankees hit multiple home runs in a game. Will Warren was looking good early on. And then, of course, you lose the same way the Yankees have lost so many games with the bullpen implosion and particularly, obviously, Devin Williams. And I understand, look, I don't think Devin Williams should have been in this game in that spot. I do understand that on some level I'm different than most people. Like, I do think, like, no one's going to give Weaver any flack. Weaver has to get out of that inning. Every single guy they went to in this game, every single guy Boone goes to in this game gives up runs. Like, that part of it is, like, they're going to have to find a way, this bullpen, right? As they're taking on these teams now over these 12 games, they're all playoff teams, blah, blah, we've gone over it. The issue with this team right now is that I don't know, like, what this bullpen is. That's the one thing that does scare me a little bit. Both these teams, obviously, the pitching for the Mets, we'll get to it. But Cruz is just coming back from injury. Weaver was not good in this game. I mean, you're hoping on Weaver and Bednar. And that's the thing about the Devin Williams situation. Because for me, I think, again, I think in this game, Boone is trying to stay away from Weaver. From Williams. You want to stay away from Williams, right? Everyone's like, oh, we'll bring him in earlier. Or, you know, like, he goes to Cruz to get out of the sixth after Warren gives up the home run to Pena. He gives up runs. Obviously, there's the issue of Stanton in the outfield, as Judge still can't play the outfield, and you need Stanton's bat in there. But Cruz gives up runs. Then you go into that inning in the seventh with Weaver. He gives up a run, thankfully gets out of it with just a tie game. And now you're in the eighth, and you can bring in your closer, Bednar. That's what I would have done. I would have brought in Bednar. But I think the plan was to take that lead in the seventh and go Weaver and Bednar and split the last two innings, the last three innings between those two relievers and leave Williams off of it. But they're unable to keep the lead, and we see it time and time again. This manager, and really every manager in baseball, once the game is tied, he treats it completely different. Once they blow the lead, once they don't have that advantage, then the game is treated completely different. But the point is, for both of these teams, with Helsley and with Williams, as they are clearly the story of today, as Helsley gives up the 3-run home run to Carpenter and blows that and has that game blown open by Detroit, and Williams blows the game in the eighth. Look, we could talk about it because I have no problem going to him over Duvall. Duvall stinks too. Duvall's been terrible. The trade deadline has pretty much been pretty awful for both of these teams when it comes to the reliever market. I mean, everyone they brought in pretty much stinks. Soto was able to have a one and one-third innings. He hasn't been great as of late, but he pitched well into this game. But Rodgers has been okay, soft contact, but hasn't been great. And for the Yankees, Doval has stunk. Bird, they brought in, immediately went to the minor leagues. And Bednar has obviously turned into their closer. But Duval, he comes in, and he's a mess too. And that's what's frustrating about this game too, because they end up scoring the three runs, and Bednar comes in after Devin Williams is squeezed by the umpire. And obviously that's going to be a big story. Brian Walsh, the home plate umpire. Yes, I think it's fair to say Devin Williams in the eighth inning got squeezed in this game. It's fair. I'm not inclined to defend Devin Williams. We all know how terrible he's been. But he's squeezed in this inning. They're off. I mean, he gets thrown out, and he was telling the umpire, four different pitches you screwed me on. He absolutely did. He absolutely did. He got squeezed in this inning. It might have been a different inning. It might have been a different inning. And that's the bottom line. Like, the bottom line is he's got to be better. The bottom line is he's got to be better. I know he shouldn't be. You don't want him in the game. I think the ultimate goal was to keep him out of the game if they could keep the lead. They couldn't. They went to Cruz first. He gives up runs. They go to Weaver with a one-run lead. He gives up the run. They couldn't get Alvarez out at all this entire game. Alvarez killed them in this game. Four hits going the opposite field for big base hits to tie the game. I think the plan was to avoid Williams, to avoid Duvall, and have Weaver and Bednar for the final three innings and split it between the two of them. But Weaver comes in, throws 22 pitches, and gives up the run, and that's when plans change. And that's when they decide to go to Williams instead of going to Bednar in the tie game in the eighth, because they don't want to waste their closer on a game that they don't have the advantage anymore. And that's where we could disagree. Like, I would have still brought in the closer. I would have brought in Bednar. I would have tried to get through the eighth inning and see what happens. But these teams, we see it over and over again. It's not just Boone. The minute you lose that advantage, they don't want to chase with their closer. They're in the middle of this long stretch. It's the gauntlet. They're not going to treat these games like they're Game 7 of the World Series. As much as we want them to, they're not going to. But at some point, like, again, and you can't tell me you'd rather see Doval in this game. Doval comes in after Williams walks the nine-hitter, which is so maddening. I mean, that's the point. Like, his stuff isn't that bad. He's throwing the ball better than Doval right now. I actually would rather see Williams in the game than Doval. He's been terrible. But you can't throw a 1-2 fastball right down the middle to Correa after he looked terrible swinging at your changeup. That's just a terrible pitch selection. And he laces it down the right field line to start that inning. That's the first thing. And then I do think he's squeezed throughout the at-bat. But against the nine-hitter, even though you're squeezed, throw a fastball down the middle. You cannot walk in after you get the strikeout of your ass to have bases loaded, two outs, and you are one out away in the nine-hitter up, you can't walk them. And then Doval comes in, and tell me again how you'd rather see Doval in this game. He throws gasoline on the fire. He's throwing balls in the dirt. He has the balk. If he just comes in and gets a freaking out, the Yankees could possibly win this game because they end up scoring three runs on the Bellinger home run. But what's frustrating is they had the three-run lead multiple times. They had control of this game, and every single reliever brought in, and I know Williams is going to get the forefront of it, and I understand the decision to bring him in the game at all is going to be all over Boone. I get it. But let's be honest. I'm not saying Boone's right. I'm not trying to say that because I wouldn't have brought him in. I would have went to Bednar. I think we're at a point right now where you just have to understand, no matter who, like, Duvall's been as bad. You can go to Tim Hill, you can go to Bednar, you can go to anybody but Devin Williams right now in the eighth inning of a tie game. Of a game you want to win, you just can't do it right now. And over his last seven appearances, he is throwing the ball better. That's a fact. Over his last seven appearances, he's been throwing the ball better than Duvall. That's a fact. I'd rather see him in the game than Doval. Doval's been terrible. And he clearly came in and was awful. But in this game, it's hard for me to blame Boone when everybody he went to didn't do the job. He gave Cruz an opportunity to save the lead. He gave up two runs. He gave Weaver the opportunity in the seventh inning to keep a one-run lead. He blew the lead. That's the bottom line. Everybody he brought in didn't get the job done. And it's just like this Yankee team is going to find a way to not be able to handle prosperity. They get the really good win to start this series, the 7-1 win. They have the 3-0 and 4-1 lead. They get the home runs. The offense really doesn't do much after that. And we got to talk about Anthony Volpe, who had miserable at-bats, had an opportunity for sacrifice fly, didn't get it done. There's a couple of plays in this game, obviously. The ground ball to McMahon, where he decides not to come home with Alvarez at third base. It looked like he had a clear play at home plate to cut off a run there. He decides not to do it and just throws Altuve out at first base. That leads to the 4-3 score before going to the seventh, where Weaver blows the game. But like, it's not just about Devin Williams. That's what's going to be the forefront of this. The umpire is going to be the forefront of this. Everyone they brought in was unable to get the job done. Everyone they brought in. And then you just feel it spitballing. And if they could have just got out of the inning without throwing the wild pitch, without the balk, they actually had an opportunity to win the game. Bellinger gets the 3-run home run. That's what's frustrating about it. But right now, one good one, one bad one. They have an opportunity tomorrow to take the series. They got Carlos Rodon on the mound. Like, I understand we're going to get mad. And look, I get it. And for both teams, really, right now, it's ironic. Helsley and Williams are almost a carbon copy. Right? For the Mets, Helsley, his stuff is good. He's throwing 102 miles an hour. The numbers off of Helsley fastballs are crazy. Like, the average, I saw they were talking about it in the Met postgame. For 101-plus-mile-an-hour fastball, the average OPS, so that's slugging plus on-base percentage, is 580 or something like that, off 100-mile-an-hour fastballs. Helsley right now has a batting average, just batting average alone, higher than that. He comes in and immediately, boom, boom, bomb. 3-run home run to Carpenter, game is over. And Devin Williams, you can just feel it. You can just feel it. And while I'm defending Boone because everyone he brought in failed, and I do understand, I think the ultimate game plan, as long as they kept the lead, was to keep Devin Williams out of this game. You just can't bring him in these situations anymore. You just can't do it. You have to find something else. You have to be able to do something else. Bednar has not pitched in a couple of days. Bring him in the eighth inning and give yourself a chance in the ninth. I don't understand why they continue to do this. I don't understand why both these managers continue to do this. And then you listen to Mendoza saying you got to get him right. It's only a couple weeks left. Now, the one thing I'll say is last year, the same thing happened. The same thing happened with Clay Holmes. And I praised Aaron Boone for how he handled it. They took Clay Holmes out of the closer role, and they continued to throw him in big situations. They continued to work him in like they're trying to work in Devin Williams right now. And then come the postseason, he gave you 9 scoreless innings and was really good through the ALCS and ALTS. He was the first guy out of the bullpen. He got big outs in the 5th and 6th. He came in with jams, runners on. He got ground balls. He did a really nice job. And the way they massaged him into the playoffs was a huge factor in getting to the World Series. It was. It's hard to envision Devin Williams being that guy. It's hard to envision them being able to massage that. Same thing with Helsley. It's hard to envision in the next 2-3 weeks you are going to find an answer to why his 102-mile-an-hour fastball is getting hit to the level it's being hit. But they continue to throw these guys out there in situations that they have no business pitching in. And they are killing these teams. But for me, like, we'll get into Walsh. Brian Walsh, the home plate umpire, who, again, these guys are quick triggered to throw guys out. And I agree with Devin Williams. Like, it's hard to agree with him. But in the postgame, he said, for me to have the inning I had, where he was squeezed on at least four balls, at least four pitches that should have been called strike or called balls, and then to end the game on that outside pitch to Jazz, that's tough to take. It's tough to take. And I normally don't complain about umpires, but that's tough to take because we watched it with our own eyes. Devin Williams got squeezed on at least four strikes, and then they end the game on a pitch off the corner to Jazz. That's a tough way to end the game. With an opportunity as the go-ahead run to come up with Giancarlo Stanton, that's a tough way to end the game. But here's the bottom line. The gauntlet does not end after two games. I don't think the Yankees played overly sloppy. I thought the Yankees played well in this game. Will Warren pitched well for five innings. The offense has been still pretty damn good. They hit some home runs. They didn't do enough to tack on. But they played a clean, crisp game for the most part until really Devin Williams comes in the game in the eighth. But this bullpen's got to be better. That's the bottom line because we know they don't go deep into these games. Right? Even the starting pitching staff, you're going to get maybe Max Fried. We'll see Carlos Rodon, who has another big start. How many times have we said that this year? Carlos Rodon, another check for a big start game. Can Carlos Rodon answer the bell in a big game? This will be a big one later tonight with Carlos Rodon on the mound against the Astros trying to win this series and start this gauntlet off in the right way. But you're going to have to rely. Cam Schlittler, we don't know how deep he's going to go into games. You got Will Warren. You got Luis Gil. You're going to need your bullpen that's well-rested. We talked about how well-rested the bullpen is. They scored seven runs the other night. Blackburn was able to just pitch the eighth and ninth. The bullpen was completely rested, and yet Cruz couldn't get it done. Weaver couldn't get it done. And obviously, Devin Williams couldn't get it done. And Doval has been an absolute disaster since he's been here. So, like, we can complain about Doval, and we can complain about Williams. We can complain about Boone going to him. We can complain about all of it. I get it. But the bottom line is everybody failed. And I think the plan was to eliminate Devin Williams from the picture until the game got tied. And they got to go out there today and win a series. It's one game. It was only one game when they won it, and it's only one game when they lost one. They got to go out there and finish this thing and play better today, but at some point, the New York Yankees have to look at themselves in the mirror. At some point, the Mets, and we'll get more into the Met game as they drop the final game against Detroit, but ultimately take 2 of 3, and the Yankees will look for the series win tonight. But at some point, Aaron Boone and the New York Yankees are going to have to look at themselves and say, look, even if I understand it, even if Devin Williams was throwing the ball well, even if, you know, I don't want to waste Bednar in a tie game and theoretically maybe lose my closer, have to throw him two innings just and end up losing the game anyway, I understand the thought process of only wanting to use your closer to secure a victory. That is how most teams handle it, not just Aaron Boone, most teams. Most teams handle it where they're not pitching their closer unless if he's successful, they win. And in a tie game on the road, that's not the case. But at some point, you can't continue to throw Devin Williams into these situations, even if it makes sense on some level. Because he's just incapable. There is no... I push back on the idea that analytics is killing the game and analytics this and analytics that. At some point, you have to acknowledge that this goes beyond the numbers. That Devin Williams is incapable right now, mentally, to get through these innings. He was right there. Last night was a perfect example of Devin Williams being unable to get through it. He gives up the leadoff double, he walks two batters, and yet he manages to get the big strikeout, and he's there with the nine hitter, and he can't throw strikes. I know he got squeezed in one pitch in that at-bat, but you can't throw a 3-1 changeup down. You just can't do it. not to the nine hitter, not in a tie game in the eighth inning. He's incapable of getting through these innings. Helsley is incapable of getting through these innings. And you can say it until you're blue in the face that we're going to need everybody. Going to need everybody. If we want to get to where we're going, we're going to need everybody. Right now, these games are too important to just hide behind. We're going to need everybody. You didn't need Devin Williams last night. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Overall, it's one game. You know me. It's one game. They have an opportunity with a 15-game winner in Carlos Rodon on the mound later today to take this series. I thought they still played fairly well. They had the lead into the seventh inning. Weaver, the guy you trust, one of the two relievers you absolutely trust, couldn't get it done. And now tonight is a big game for Carlos Rodon and the New York Yankees. 888-808-1019. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with your calls. We're up on the chat. I haven't checked it out just yet. We're on the YouTube overnight live. If you go to YouTube and you search WFAN, you can find me there and watch the show live. You could take part in the comments. You can make fun of my neck beard, my fat face, or anything else you want to do. That's typically what the comments are for. So join in. 888-808-1019. Let's talk a little baseball. We'll get to Vera Tucker and the devastating tricep injury to the best offensive lineman on what's supposed to be the best unit of this team and is supposed to be the driving force of what has a winning season for the New York Jets. So a devastating injury to start the year. We'll get to that. We'll get to the game tonight as the NFL season starts. Eagles, Cowboys tonight, but we start with the two men who have killed this team over the last month in the bullpen and the Yankees unable to build any sort of momentum off a very positive win to start game one of this gauntlet as they drop game two against the Astros and they look for the series win tonight with Carlos Rodon on the mound.
Put WFAN in your contact list. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
All right. 229. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Frustrating loss for the Yankees. It felt like they were about to take this second game, take the series victory. Coming off of the momentum of game one, everything that was wrong with the Astros in game one, the dealing of obviously Valdez and Salazar, the catcher, and all that, that was making its rounds all across the baseball landscape and media earlier in the day. The manager had to come out and address it and everything. Felt like all the momentum was in the Yankee favor as they were up 4-1, and the bullpen just couldn't hold it. And that has been a problem so many times this year. And Devin Williams, literally. I mean, I know that Clay Holmes broke the record or whatever for blown saves last year, but Devin Williams has single-handedly. Now, I don't know if can you say Devin Williams lost this game when it's tied in the eighth when he comes in? I know Bellinger ends up hitting the three-run home run, so you could say if he gives you a clean inning, you win the game. You don't know if that's exactly what would have happened, but it's tough to say he's the absolute reason you lost when he entered the game tied, but he has single-handedly cost the Yankees 5, 6, 7 games easy. And while, again, I kind of understand going to him, I do. You're not going to go, I don't think you're going to go to Tim Hill there to lead off with Correa. We've seen Tim Hill against right-handed hitters. Like, so I just don't think I'm going to start Tim Hill there in that inning against Carlos Correa. And you could go to Bednar. That's probably what I would have done. But we have seen the managers don't want to do that. He does not want to bring in Bednar. And, you know, you probably throw him two innings if you don't score in the ninth. Or either way, you probably throw him. If you bring him in the eighth, you're probably pitching him the eighth and ninth. Now he's not available for tomorrow. And he could pitch those two innings. The Yankees don't score and you waste them. They don't like doing that. That's why I heard someone as I was calling in, played to win the game today. You know, they were tied. They didn't go to Devin Williams to hold a lead. They were tied. Weaver blew the game. Weaver blew the lead. Weaver. I know no one's going to get on Weaver because we like him. But Weaver blew the lead. And there's nothing that says Williams can't throw strikes to the nine hitter after getting the big strikeout. But to me, again, like I'm not going to, it's a frustrating loss, but it's not one that defines them. I'm just like, the first game didn't define them. This game doesn't define them. They have to just, you know, try and win a series tomorrow with Carlos Rodon on the mound. But I feel like they played well in this game. I don't think they did, you know, other than, look, we know what Stanton is in left field. You know what you're sacrificing to keep him in the lineup right now. That was a bullet line drive off the bat of Alvarez, who just killed them in this game. I know Boone was quoted as in the post game saying that nobody was catching that. I don't know about that. I think someone could have. I think there's a left fielder out there who could have caught it, but it wasn't an easy play. And here's the other thing, too, because I got a lot of people saying once you have the lead in the sixth, once you go to your bullpen, you have to bring in a defensive replacement. Let's be honest. They don't have a really good defensive replacement. Like, it's better than Stanton, don't get me wrong. But Dominguez, as we know, is not a great outfielder. And Rosario is okay out there. He's not a good outfielder either. But it's just one game. That's it, one game. And you know how I feel about this gauntlet. It's overblown what it means and how important it is. And, you know, I heard Keith, oh, you need 8 wins. I heard, you know, oh, you need this many, you need that many. You don't. You need to win the division. That's what I'm trying to do. And last night sucks because after being down 6-0, I think, at one point, the Blue Jays rallied back, beat the Reds, and now it's 3.5, 3 in the loss column behind the Blue Jays. And they got to go out there and figure out a way to win this series. Tonight's a big game. This is one of those games, again, for Carlos Rodon. Carlos Rodon has had a really good year. Carlos Rodon leads the American League. Him and Max Fried both have 15 wins. He was an all-star. He has been excellent for the Yankees this year. You can't argue it. But there will always be, even if he pitches well tomorrow, tonight, there's going to be, will he be there for the big game in the back of your mind? That fear that he won't show up for the big spot. He's earned that fear. He's earned our distrust in those big spots. And hopefully, you know, tonight can be at least partly building, you know, more some sort of confidence in him because this is a big game. And they need him to go out there and shove. So let's hopefully he can do it. And then they win the series and we don't care so much about last night. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Robbie in Phoenix. What's up, Robbie?
Question. Hey, nice to hear you back again.
Thank you, buddy.
Question. Why was Ward take it out after just 67 pitches?
Yeah.
He gave up a single home run. Did that make sense to
yeah,
at least let him go a little bit?
I don't know. I mean, did you see the fifth inning, too? I mean, he was the last 6 or 7 guys all hit the ball hard off of him. I thought he was done. That's an aggressive move from the manager. He's going to his bullpen. He's going to Cruz. He's going to Weaver. I had no problem with it. No, I understand it's 60 pitches, but it wasn't about that. It was about effectiveness. He had some balls hit on the nose that just happened to be at some people. I thought he was about to get pounded, so I had no problem. I didn't want Warren to go through the middle of the order for a third time after giving up the home run to Pena. I didn't.
Okay, well, and that I can understand. Now, here's my other thing: when they go back home, I don't think he should play Volpe.
Yeah.
He can't put Devin Williams out there again at home. I have a feeling if that game was at home, you wouldn't have seen him out on the mound.
I don't know about
here's
that.
Who I
don't
think
know about
they should
that.
Play shortstop.
Well, I think
I think Cabrero should play shortstop and Alonso third.
Who?
Because Alonso can hit.
Alonso?
No. The guy from Tampa Bay that's now
Caballero.
That third base. But, yeah.
He should play shortstop.
I don't want to see Volpe.
Yeah.
I think we need to.
I don't know who you're talking about to play third. Rosario? No, McMahon had two hits in this game. He had the sacrifice fly, and he's played a brilliant third base, other than he could have went home on the play to Alvarez. I'm starting to, you know, I think Caballero's shortstop makes a lot of sense. He was a spark. I mean, look, he can't get thrown out of that game, but I trust him more to put the ball in play. I haven't seen a ton of him defensively at shortstop, but he can't be worse than what Volpe's been, at least this year. I don't know if it's a major, major upgrade, but, I mean, you know, Volpe has been so bad making errors on easy plays that you can't argue that he'd be worse than Volpe defensively. He can only be better. I just don't know how much better. I haven't seen him that much at shortstop. But I liked him on the bench because I like to be able to implement a base stealer whenever I want and impact the game in a moment where I need it impacted. But it's getting to the point where Anthony Volpe is just, there's no benefit to playing Anthony Volpe anymore. And Caballero brings a little something. He puts the ball in play, brings speed. When he gets on the bases, he steals bases. He creates pressure on the defense. I'm not opposed to, last night was some ugly at-bats. Ugly at-bats. Against a left-handed pitcher where he should have been able to get, big strikeouts, ugly swings. Anthony Volpe is borderline useless right now. So I'm open to playing Caballero at shortstop. At least give it a try for a couple games. I think we're at that point. Now, the Devin Williams thing, you might be right, because at home, they might be more inclined to bring in Bednar in the tie game of an eighth inning. In the eighth inning of a tie game, rather. You might be more inclined to bring in your closer at home because you feel like you got home field advantage. You got last licks. You have a better chance to win that game. On the road, tie game in the eighth. I just don't know if that's a spot where they're going to bring in their closer and risk, because you're going to have to throw him two innings. If you bring him in the eighth, you're not going to anybody else in the ninth, unless he throws 30 pitches in the eighth. But if he gets you through the eighth, you're going to throw him in the ninth, and I just don't think they want to waste Bednar in a tie game. I don't think that is a smart decision. Again, I don't want to see Williams in that spot, but I don't know, unless you're going to throw Bednar, you can't tell me you want to see Duvall. Like, I have to be honest, I'm there with Duvall. And watch him come into this game. He's got that same feeling, like it's just going to go poorly. You can sense it. Duvall has been a huge disappointment. So I don't even think there's a difference right now between Williams and Duvall. To me, the plan was get Cruz through the sixth, and then you have the seventh, eighth, and ninth between Weaver and Bednar. And then Weaver had a bad inning. He gave up the run. He threw 23 pitches, and he wasn't going to go back to him. And he wasn't going to go to Bednar because the game's tied now. And that's why it opened the door for Williams. But at some point, you can't even do that. Even if I can make the argument like I am making, even if you can make the case on why it makes sense to go to Williams, it doesn't make sense because of what he is right now. And he is a reliever right now. He is a pitcher right now who can't make it through. You can sense it. You can feel it. He can feel it. We all can feel it. At some point, you got to just be willing to give in to that. At some point, you have to be willing to acknowledge that and say, look, right now, he just can't do this. And they don't want to admit it. Rafael in Washington Heights. What's up, Rafael?
Hey, how you doing, man? I think I blame more Boone the way he managed the bullpen, because the bullpen was rested. I would have brought in Cruz from the beginning instead of, bringing back Warren, because he started to get hit hard. And unfortunately, he gave up the home run.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know, I think I would have run lighter instead of Duvall, because every time Duvall comes in, like, he hasn't been good.
Yeah, I mean, you could have brought in lighter instead of Duvall after to get out of the mess. I don't disagree with that. After Williams, you could have brought in Leiter. I mean, you could have went to Leiter in the tie game as well. I would have done. I could have argued for that over Duvall or Williams. I don't know why they continue to go to Williams, but Duvall's been terrible. Duvall's been terrible.
Every time he comes in, you know, like it's something, like either he balks or there's a fist violation or it's just frustrating.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm tired. Like, I know it's crunch time. Like, I don't, he better not pitch in the playoffs because I can't trust him. Like, why? I don't know. It's frustrating.
Yeah, no, That was the trade deadline acquisition of Duvall has been a disaster. The trade acquisition of Ryan Helsley has been a disaster. Like, there's just to think of like what they the New York Yankees acquired some of the better closers and three of the better closers in baseball since the start of the offseason. They brought in Devin Williams. They brought in Duvall. They brought in Bednar. Two of the three can't pitch. That is, I mean, again, we all want to hate on Brian Cashman. Fine. Like, I can't blame him for that. I can't. You want to? Go ahead. I can't blame him for Devin Williams being terrible. Now, to continue to go to him, maybe. I can't blame him for even Duvall being this bad. Now, even if he would have said, okay, Duvall's not going to be great or Duvall's not going to be as good or Duvall is going to struggle with his time in New York or something, like, fine, but he's borderline unpitchable too. Like, this is a guy who's been a closer. He's had almost 100, I think he's got 100 saves in his career. Like, what the hell happened to him? Paul in Buffalo. What's up, Paul?
Chris, you know, in general, I'm not a big fan of changing the game of baseball. I don't like interleague play. I don't like the wild card system. I don't like pitchers not hitting in the National League. I do like the pitch clock. But I'll tell you what, I'm salivating. I cannot wait.
Yeah.
I hope they fire every umpire in the game and replace every one of them with artificial intelligence and robots.
Yeah.
These men all suffer from personality disorders when they are behind the plate. You can tell these kids were bullied in high school, and I'm not here to bully them now. I'm sorry they were bullied in high school. I'm sorry they were all undersized and got picked on. But you can tell that's who the kids were that become home plate umpires. I mean, you just want to punch every one of them in the face.
Well, I mean,
I can't stand Devin Williams. He's awful.
Right.
But he got squeezed.
He absolutely
and
did.
It was so obvious. And the umpire is just such a jerk. He knows he was wrong. And it's just, there's no consequences for him. That's why every fan hates umpire. This guy should be fired. He shouldn't ump another game this season at a minimum.
Yeah.
Well, he should lose his job. That's what should happen. Yeah, of course, won't happen.
I don't know about
it. But he should lose his job.
I don't know if he should lose his job necessarily. I mean, I'll tell you this, though. Like, we saw it twice now. Like, yesterday with Caballero, and then 2 days ago with Caballero, and last night with Devin Williams. I don't care what is said. Unless it is extremely demonstrative and in your face, there is no reason to throw. He walks up and he says, you blew four calls. Why does he need to be thrown out of the game for that?
No reason at
There's all. There's no reason. Just like, yeah, whatever. But like, even if you obviously you disagree in the moment, maybe you go back and realize after you look at the film that you did blow four calls. But like, even in the moment, if you feel it's patently ridiculous that you blew four calls, just say, yeah, whatever, bro. Like, why would you have to throw guys out? Caballero, I don't care what he said. He was calmly speaking. He wasn't even speaking with his hands. Like, he was just calmly talking. And I don't care what he said. There's no reason to throw him out. I don't care what the magic word is. Just turn the other cheek and walk away. I don't understand why they are so quick to throw people out. It's crazy. Now, Boone gave him enough. I'm sure Boone deserved to get thrown out. But, like, Devin Williams did not deserve to get thrown out of the game.
That's Boone's job. That's part of baseball tradition. That's you're playing a role, almost like a manager in a WWE event or something, and you get into it with the ref, they throw you out, that's one thing. You don't do that to a pitcher after you already screwed him over in the at-bat. That's what just kills me. And I have a question for you about this whole Soto thing, did he undercut Lindor saying Marte's the leader of the team? Is there such a thing as saying Lindor's the face of the team and Marte's the leader, kind of the same relationship that Stanton and Judge have with the Yankees? Judge is obviously the face and the captain of the team, but they always say Stanton's voice is very important.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I didn't take those comments to mean so much. I just think Soto happens to love Marte. I think that's it. I think that was an opportunity that Soto took to just really make it clear how important Marte is to the team, because he happens to really look up to him and loves being around him, and it was just an opportunity to say, wow, he's a great player and all, but it's not only just that, it's everything about him. I just think Soto took an opportunity to praise a guy he really respects and admires and enjoys being a teammate of. I didn't take it to be a slight on Lindor, but yes, can there be different dynamics? Can there be vocal leaders? Can there be guys who are, you know, leaders and then guys who are the face of the team and share responsibilities, or it's slightly different? Yeah. Absolutely. And I still think Lindor is the captain of the team. Like last year, Vientos, right? We talked about it when, during the offensive struggles, and they were going to fire Chavez, and we talked about bringing JD Martinez as a possible hitting coach. Like last year, he was very important to the team. Last year, Vientos talked about how having JD Martinez around was important to him. Veteran bat, you know, us against the world talk kind of started with him and everything, and it was just, he was a good guy to have in the clubhouse. Doesn't necessarily mean he's the captain or the premium leader, or the guy everyone looks to at every moment, but he's one of the voices in that room that was valuable. And I think Juan Soto just took an opportunity to praise a guy he respects and admires a lot. I don't think, you know, Marte is the leader of the team. But if it is, you bring him back. If Juan Soto wants him back, you gave him a suite, you gave him a wardrobe, give him his favorite player. But there's definitely different dynamics. And yes, Stanton has become, for the New York Yankees, a prominent voice. There's no doubt. When they got the rings for winning the American League championship last year, he said, I better not see anybody wearing these. This isn't what we came to win. And, you know, nobody, we don't get swept at home at the beginning of the year during the Diamondback series, or like, you know, that kind of thing. While I would still say Judge is clearly the captain and the leader of the team, Giancarlo's voice is prominent. And he hits another home run in this game. And look, out in left field, it's going to be a struggle with him on the outfield. They need Judge to get back. Like that. Let's be honest about Judge too right now. He wants to get all over. He wants to, you know, go back on the comments of Aaron Boone. As Aaron Boone said, yeah, I don't know if he'll ever, you know, this year, if we expect him to throw the same as he normally does, he pushed back on it. That was about a month ago, and he's still not in the outfield. And he had some miserable at-bats swinging at the first pitch, flying out on check swings and lazy fly balls. He did not have a great game, even though he does get on to continue the rally in the ninth, and it leads to the 3-run home run from Bellinger. But that was just a frustrating loss that they should have. It's a game you gotta find a way to win those games. And they've lost too many games just like that this year. Too many games just like that. And again, Devin Williams is an interesting case here, because in this particular game, I think you can make a strong case that, you know, I think you can make an argument that pitching him in the eighth inning makes sense. But it's past that. It's past the idea of, well, it makes sense. It's almost like, look, it's got to be anybody else but him. Because it's deflating to lose the game with Devin Williams on the mound now. It's almost worse to lose it with Devin Williams. I know that's stupid and it goes against what I normally would say. Losses are losses and there's not much to take out of different things. But, like, it's more deflating to have Devin Williams do it again than it would have been to have Leiter do it or to have Tim Hill do it. It just would have been. And it's just, you know, the minute, and he's bound to do it. What a terrible pitch to Correa. He's got a 1-2 count. I believe Correa swung and missed twice at the changeup. And he tries to elevate a fastball, and it's right down the middle. You can't throw a 1-2 fastball right down the middle. to lead off the inning and call us Cray. You just can't do it. And then you can't walk the nine-hitter. Like, we could blame Boone all we want. Devin Williams has had a career as one of the best relief pitchers in the sport. Find a way to throw strikes to the nine-hitter. After you strike out the eight-hitter to get you almost out of the jam, find a way to get through that inning. And then, yes, I totally agree. Doval would not have been the pitcher I brought in. I would have brought in Leiter. I would have brought in anybody else. I would have brought in anybody else to keep that game close. But, again, it's one game. They have an opportunity to win the series later tonight. And this is going to be a big start for Carlos Rodon. This is a big game for the Yankees. Let's see how they respond. Let's see how this Yankee team responds to a tough loss last night. Because that's what it's about. And to me, this bullpen is still, like, as the rotation has kind of settled itself in a little bit with Max Fried returning to what he's been and Carlos Rodon being what he's been and Cam Schlittler and even Will Warren, who pitched fairly well in this game. Like, the rotation has kind of stabilized itself. And now that Cruz is back and Bednar's been what he's been and Weaver, like, you feel better about this staff, but yet they find ways to lose. And, you know, no one's going to blame him, but Weaver blew this game. I'm as mad as Weaver as anybody else. And to get back to the umpire conversation, yeah, I don't understand why these. I have to admit, I think it's at the point where we need the robots to take over, because it's just on a nightly basis these umpires are just awful.